Analysis by analysis. That's what you get from the other guys. But not here. Not now. Not ever. This is the Baseball Insider Show presented by SEPTA, a deep look inside the game. The Baseball Insider Show presented by SEPTA is broadcasting live from Puss in Boots Tavern in Fairless Hills and is brought to you in part by SEPTA, BCWSA, Rob's Automotive, Vince Siriani and GMH Mortgage, Marriott Suites Clearwater Beach, Harris Comfort, Penn Community Bank, McCaffrey Supermarkets, Peruzzi Auto Group, Keenan's in North Wildwood, and the Southern Ocean County Chamber of Commerce. We now go live to Puss in Boots Tavern in Fairless Hills for the Baseball Insider Show presented by SEPTA. Now, here are your hosts, John Brazier and Tommy Green.
All right, welcome to the Baseball Insider Show presented by SEPTA. I'm John Brazier, Director of Fun and Games of Fightinville, joined by my co-host, Tita Green. Tommy, how you doing, buddy?
Thank you, my friend. Thank you for having me.
You are welcome.
First time all year, which is great.
Chris Ermer's having you from WBCB. Tommy, we got a great show here. We are at Puss in Boots in Fairless Hills, so if you're in the area, come on by. We are in the back room.
Well, I tell you what, I had a great chicken sandwich earlier. It was awesome.
I tell you what, and I stole some of your pickles, and I stole some also your sweet potato fries.
They were good.
They were very good. Yes, come on by. And I also think they're having – what, 30, is it 35-cent hot dogs?
Yes, that can be dangerous for me. I could eat about 12 of them.
Right, probably. I haven't had any of those. I'm going to stay away from the hot dogs. Yeah. Not that they're not good. I'm just trying to be good myself. All right, Tom, we got a great show today because we are going to review the week in Phillies baseball. It was a tough series against the Mets. I'm starting to get a little rhythm back against the Nats. And I got to tell you, we were just talking in there. And we played the Mets now. Well, we played up at home. Now we got them on the road.
Yeah.
Starting next Tuesday, we had the Nats at home. Now we're hoping wrapping up a Nats series tomorrow. I tell you what, those teams, but with their pitching and the lineups. I mean, are you kidding me?
I tell you what, it's like going to a fight night. You know, I mean, you're slugging it out with the guys right off the bat. They're coming at you 1-2 right out of. I mean, when the bell rings, that's basically what's happening. You're playing your division foes and they're formidable right now. The lineups they got they're very formidable, and also the pitching staff. So, I mean, you got to be on, one swing of the bat or one mistake. It could mean the difference in the ballgame.
I mean, look at those lineups just in general, okay? The Nationals, they've got I mean, again, in no particular order, but they got Daniel Murphy, who might be the best hitter in the game right now.
He looks very comfortable at the plate. I mean, we talked about that. He's got a little Wade Boggs in him, and with more, with more pop or with what he does, he does it very well. A very dangerous hitter.
And you got the dangerous, obviously, Bryce Harper. You've got the Jason Worth is dangerous. You've got Ryan Zimmerman. We saw how dangerous he is when he hit the.
Did yesterday, and all of them, I think, all of them are basically over 300, right, except for the pitcher. I mean, obviously the pitcher. The pitchers can't hit either, but
they had Trey Turner. Now he was going to be on his way to superstardom, and then he got hurt. But he's going to be back. You know, they still have Lobaton. They've got Weeders.
It's a scary lineup, and they've started off swinging the bat pretty good. And that's sort of the same way with the Mets. And and then you got the pitching staffs on top of that.
Right. You know? Well, you got Strasburg and Scherzer, and you got Tanner Roark and Gio Gonzalez. Then you go to the Mets, and so when we face the Nationals. And then we played the Mets. I was telling somebody at work, I said, I can't wait to get the Nationals out of here, man. This lineup's scary, and it's scarier than the Mets lineup. All of a sudden, the Mets come in town, and I said, I got to take that back. Now, I think the Nationals have a better lineup top to bottom, but I think the Mets have a scarier lineup. Mets can really pound you. I think on a consistent basis, the Nats will, but the Mets will have off days because they're really a power hitting team. But, man, you put together that – go through the Mets lineup. You got Duda.
Yeah.
You've got Cespedes.
If that guy gets hot, then Jay Bruce. And then those guys, you got that snake, that dual snake head or whatever you want to call it.
Right.
When they hit us, it was those two, Cespedes and Bruce, were hot. Now if Duda gets hot, which he hit a bomb last night in Miami, it still hadn't landed.
Right.
Dead center. I mean, way back there. I mean, if they got power. Now, to go along with, say, to speak, the pitching thing, so I mean, it's a tough division. People don't realize it. I mean, they're starting to realize it more right. so than anything. I mean, and for the Phillies to do what they need to do, they got to play good baseball, and they can't afford the mistakes. They got to do the little things like they did today.
Right. And I tell you, that pitching staff, too, obviously with the Mets, was Syndergaard and Harvey, and it just goes on and on.
Here it comes, boys.
Hey, I know you're a big golfer. A friend of mine took Cespedes out to golf. Okay, now Cespedes just took up golf, supposedly last year. Okay.
Yeah.
Now he's a guy that spends a lot of money. He's a guy that, you know.
He's not afraid.
I read an article about his car collection, and he spent all his cars are custom made, and you know, they're with his initials in there. And so my buddy was telling me that he had this golf bag. Picture Rodney Dangerfield in Caddyshack, where he had like all his gimmicks and gadgets and everything. He had this golf bag that the golf pro, wherever it was, told him that he had to remove half the bag because he had viewfinders and he had this, and the bag was heavy itself, and it had, you know, all kinds of stuff. He had like four cases of balls in the bag. You know, so caddy wouldn't have a chance.
He needed a cart to move that thing.
So he had to empty out half his bag. And a lot of this, again, was like personalized stuff that, you know, gloves and other things. So he had to shove it in the locker, and he just left it there. So the pro said, hey, Cespedes left his stuff here. What do you want to do? My buddy called Cespedes' people, and they're like, just keep it there. He doesn't want it. Give it away.
Yeah.
So the life of a ball player.
How'd he play?
He said he, just like in baseball, he swings. He just started playing. But he said he actually did pretty well for the first time playing. But he swings out of his shoes, as you can imagine.
Hey, you know my theory, swing hard in case you hit it.
Exactly right. all right, Tommy, we're going to go around baseball, and we're going to discuss some of the interesting storylines. In fact, we will be talking about at some ballpark, they eat grasshoppers, and it's fried grasshoppers, and it's such a – it's such a big hit, they had to limit the number of grasshoppers
at
the ballpark.
I know where it's at.
We'll talk about that. We're going to talk about the legacy of Jackie Robinson. Obviously, today, 70 years ago from today, is when he broke the color barrier. So we're going to talk about that. We'll talk about some of the good stats so far, the bad stats so far. We'll go through the minor league system. There's a lot of interesting things to talk about in the Phillies minor league system. And I don't know why I picked this, but I talked to a high school class yesterday, and it was about baseball and about it was baseball literature, which is pretty interesting that a high school class would have something on baseball literature. So I wanted to get some yogiisms.
And then the director of fun and games is right up your alley.
Right up the alley. I should have majored in that. But I've got some yogiisms that I presented to the class at the end.
Those are classic.
You know what? And there's nothing about Yogi Berra. There's no anniversary or anything. But I just figured you can't go wrong saying yogiisms.
And you're going to have a good laugh at it.
Exactly. All right. Let's go through today's game. Because today was obviously a 4-2 victory, a big win for the Fightin' Phils. And I tell you what, who had a great game today? Number 42.
Oh, yes, he did. That guy was the man. He's underpaid.
Number 42 also had a bad game.
He is underpaid.
42 had the win. They had the loss. They had the save. They had the game-winning home run, right?
Yep. And he gave it up, too.
He gave it up. All right, so obviously Major League Baseball. When was it? Was that 20 years ago? I know it was Clinton was in office at the time.
We didn't. I know I didn't have to played.
And Bud Selig obviously was the commissioner, and it was a great move. It was an absolutely great move to basically retire 42 amongst everywhere in baseball. Now, the guys that had 42, like Mo Vaughn, they were grandfathered out. So they could wear 42 and Mariano, right?
Yeah.
Mariano wore it. You could grandfather it out until they were done. But nobody could have 42
after that.
And, you know, every year at the ballpark on the 15th or – whenever your first home game is after the 15th, every team does a game to celebrate. Now, we're doing ours next week.
A week from
Tuesday, and we're going to have a Jackie Robinson statue. We're going to put in Ashburn Alley.
Yeah.
We're going to have some members of the Tuskegee Airmen come out pregame.
Cool. That's cool.
We're going to have a Jackie Robinson storyteller. Obviously, everyone will be wearing number 42, so it's going to be a nice tribute to a guy that – and I want to go we might as well just go through that now. I tell you what – Jackie Robinson, obviously there's a lot of listeners out there that know the name and obviously know he was the guy who broke the color barrier, but they don't know how good of a player he was or what he really went through. I mean, it's what he went through was really unbelievable.
And I can't even fathom, you know, because we weren't there. Right. All we know is the stories and stuff and that we hear and what's going through. But as far as what he went through to get to where he got is unbelievable.
Well, let's talk about just purely stats, okay? So he made his debut, as I said, 70 years ago, 1947, for the Brooklyn Dodgers. He was basically – he was playing in the Negro League, and there were some guys that were – Satchel Paige was playing in the Negro League. There was also
– was it Josh?
Yeah, Josh.
Josh Thompson or Josh?
No. We'll come up with it.
Yeah.
But yeah, basically Branch Rickey from the Dodgers knew he wanted to sign somebody out of the Negro Leagues, and he wanted somebody that could actually – be strong enough to turn the other cheek. That wasn't going to fight. That would be a
yeah.
That
would enable what was going
to
happen,
and that it would enable others to come into the league. You know, based on that example. Mm-hmm. So Jackie Robinson came in, and I tell you what, Major League Best. Just look at his stats alone. Forget what he did from a revolutionary cultural perspective. He hit .311. He had over 1,500 hits. Had 137 home runs, 734 RBIs. He was a 6-time All Star. He won the World Series in 55. He's the NL MVP in 49. He's the MLB Rookie of the Year in 47. He was a batting champion in 49. 2-time NL stolen base leader in 47, 49. He was on the MLB All-Century team. So, I mean, that's pretty good.
Numbers speak for themselves.
In a 10-year span. Because he was older when he came into the league at 28.
Yeah.
So he didn't play that long.
Yeah.
Now picture if he came into the league at 21, 22.
And played another 5 years.
Right. You're talking about some unbelievable – unbelievable stats. So, but again, you know, here's a guy that when he went to the minor leagues, he couldn't stay in the same hotel as all of his other teammates. And
couldn't really eat in the same establishments.
And he's
either.
Getting heckled. And some of the other teams were trying to refuse to play against him, you know, because they're playing against an African-American player. And then that's just in the minor leagues. He gets to the major leagues, and it just got worse. Stadiums get bigger. The you know every town he went into, especially towns like Boston, was really tough. Boston was the last team to integrate, and or even Philadelphia. There's obviously the manager.
Yes, he was tough.
Had some tough words to say against him. But here, I mean, picture if you're Jackie Robinson, you're basically the lone representative of the African American community, and there's that much vitriol from a certain part of the segment, and he was able to not only fight through that, but also to have that career I just talked about.
That shows you what you can do without violence or without taking matters in your own hand. You have the integrity and the willingness inside, the perseverance to know what's right and what's wrong. And he was a guy, even though no matter how bad it got, people coming at him.
Right.
And it got bad, you know, and he had his, you know, say he speaks demons inside where, you know, he wanted to do something,
but
he didn't.
Right.
But he didn't, and what was so much better, the end result, what happened, it's a good teaching tool for our young Americans, white, black, whatever race, of what you can do if you set your mind to do things and you can be good at what you do. I mean, he opened the doors for not just the young black men, women, and everything in our country. It's everybody, I think. I mean, because it's the way you think about things, and he was treated very wrong. I mean, I know – I think about things. We cut each other. We all bleed red. That makes us the same.
Right.
We just, you know, say our nationality. I was born in Europe or wherever I was born. You know, that makes us – we're still the same. We're human beings.
He also was the first black television analyst in MLB. He was the first black vice president of a major American corporation, chock full of nuts. 1960s, he helped establish the Freedom National Bank. It was an African-American-owned financial institution based in Harlem. He got the Congressional Gold Medal, the Presidential Medal of Freedom. He even served in the military. I mean, how about that? And there was he was one of several black soldiers to apply and get into the Officer Candidate School, OCS, at Fort Riley. He became good friends with Joe Lewis at the time. He was also stationed at Fort Riley. I mean, the guy just, again, look at that. The life is just incredible. So, the good news.
We can't say enough good things about Jackie Robinson. You know, all we can do is show our appreciation, and Major League Baseball is doing that.
All right. Well, again, it's a tribute that I'm glad Bud Selig did, and it'll last on forever, and I think it's a great teaching moment for all baseball fans and especially kids. So, all right, coming up on the show, we're going to get into the game. Again, the Fightin' Phils win 4-2. We'll go through and see how the Phils have done that. You are listening to the Baseball Insider Show presented by SEPTA. We are live from Puss in Boots in Fairless Hills, Pennsylvania.
We now return to Puss in Boots Tavern in Fairless Hills for the Baseball Insider Show presented by SEPTA. Now, here are your hosts, John Brazier and Tommy Green.
Show presented by SEPTA. We are live from Puss in Boots Tavern in Fairless Hills, Pennsylvania. I'm John Brazier, joined by my co-host, Tommy Green. And again, if you're in the area, in Fairless Hills area, please stop by Puss in Boots. Great food here. Again,
yes,
Tommy,
yes, it was. That chicken sandwich, that grilled chicken I had was outstanding.
There's hot dog specials here, yep. The less than a dollar. You've got the sweet potato fries that I tried.
And that was real good, and the hot mustard to go with it. That
hot mustard and the deli pickles. And we're just scratching the surface, I heard.
Yeah,
they have tremendous chili, because you were mentioning chili.
Yeah, I started to go that route, but I thought I'd be a little better for myself to go to chicken way.
Might be a little better for yourself, too, since you didn't have that chili.
Yeah, I know.
All right.
It made me better for you.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about the Phillies' win today, because it was a big win for the Phillies. It gets them to 4-7 on the season. First of all, let's talk about the pitching, because Jeremy Hellickson – tell you what, he's been, he didn't have the best spring training. And I remember, listening to talk radio or hearing some of my friends and saying, look, the guy got $17 million. Look, he's not worth it.
Well, I mean, they're expecting nobody should give up a run or hit ever.
Right.
For that. Yeah.
But Jeremy Hellickson this season has been tremendous. Really has been tremendous. So today he goes 7 innings, which is great because we haven't had a lot of pitchers. I think Eichhoff's the only one that's gone through 7.
Yeah.
And that's twice he did it.
Yeah.
But nobody
he's
else.
He's pretty steady Eddie. You can't ask for any better.
No, nobody's at this point other than Eichhoff's done it. So he goes 7 innings pitch. Gave up some, now it was interesting because he's a fly ball pitcher. And
there's the boys got some wall burns on their back a little bit. Some deep fly balls he got away with a little bit later in the game, which, they needed. He was elevating the ball just a little bit more than he did before.
Right. And if you're listening to Fransky in L.A. on the radio, it got a little nerve-wracking because when it comes off the bat and Francis says it's deep to the – you just didn't know how deep it was. Right, and then it stayed in the park. So he goes 7 innings pitch, 4 hits, 2 earned runs, 1 walk, 2 strikeouts. He now has a 1.59 ERA on the year. He threw 96 pitches, so he gets right up there.
I mean, pretty efficient guy. I mean, he threw strikes.
He did. So, and then he did give up the home run to Heisley. Right? Towards the end?
Yeah, right there.
So
they
tie the game up. But again, overall, very good outing.
You look at it, 98 pitches, 63 strikes.
98 pitches, right.
Yeah, he's getting the job done. He's commanding the zone. But right there at the end, he got a little bit elevated with it. And that's what the guys did a good job of putting good wood on it, but it stayed in the yard, which is great. But that's when, as a manager, you're seeing that and it's time. Try to get that guy out of there. You're not looking necessarily at pitch count.
Right.
It's just he's starting to elevate a little bit, and, you go to your bullpen.
Well, then speaking of the bullpen, then we go to we had the same setup guy.
Yeah.
Neris. Now, that brings up a question. Chris Ermer, our producer/engineer, brought up the question during the break, and he said, how come Neris didn't go to the closing role? And I'll get your feedback, but from everything I've read and talked to people, I think Neris has done such a good job in the eighth inning that they didn't want to – if you take him out of his role where he's doing well and has comfort, even though he could easily be the closer, you're not only affecting that role. Well, you're affecting the closer role, but now you're affecting whoever comes in to take that. So I think they wanted to keep him in the comfort of pitching in the eighth inning.
Yeah.
And I think
– that's why they got Benoit.
Well, right. And Benoit started off his career with Texas as a starting pitcher. And then he was a seventh inning guy. I think he led the league in holds for a couple of years.
Yeah.
But he also has some closing experience. The guy's 39 years old.
Oh, he's been around forever.
Yeah. And he's
still got good stuff, too.
Still got great stuff. And he's pitched well this year. Hasn't given up an earned run, nor has Neris. So I think it's knock on wood. So I think it made sense to affect one position.
Yeah.
So keep Neris at the eighth inning role, move Benoit to the closing role. And then I think as a more of an ancillary or more of like the cherry on the ice cream is that Benoit is on a 1-year deal.
Yeah.
Right? He's going to be 40 years old in July. I don't see us signing Benoit to a long-term deal.
No.
And so
he's a year by year guy.
Right. So I think what you could happen is if he has a really good year, he's someone that could be a valuable commodity right at the training deadline.
Yeah.
And if he's a closer as opposed to a setup guy, mm-hmm. his value even gets enhanced, gets way up there.
Yeah.
And who knows what we get for Benoit, you know, come July. But I think, again, that's not the underlying reason. I think the reason was what I stated before.
Yeah.
But that could, you know.
You're leaving something alone, say to speak, that's doing well, which is Neris. He's in a role which he's very comfortable at right now. And not necessarily, I mean, saying that he won't never be the closer, because I think he's got that type of stuff.
I think he will be a closer at some point.
Especially if he commands that fastball. And he's got a great split. You know,
well,
he's got a great
split. Today that ball is just –
it looks just like his fastball, I mean, and just bottoms out. And that's what makes it so special. It reminds me of Brian Harvey back in the day, say to speak. He was that guy. But Brian Harvey is one of those guys that commanded his fastball and went boom, boom, strike two. But you wouldn't hit in strike three because it looked just like his heater and the bottom fell out of it, just like Neris does right now.
Right.
I mean, that's what makes him so effective. And, I mean – but I can see why, like you say, why they took Benoit and put him in that role, because he has that experience, and they just basically – are they going to make it a permanent thing? You never know. I mean, that's yet to be seen, but basically if they did, they're just flip-flopping Gomez and him, and which I think is an interchangeable part, say to speak. You got three guys down there I think could do it. I mean, has done it.
Yeah.
At least have done it, and then Neris is sort of like the guy waiting with the good stuff.
Well, and I think they have one arm that's young. And then we saw it this week and how young and potentially immature the guy is. Ramos. I mean, Ramos has an incredible arm.
Oh, yeah.
And he doesn't have a lot of major league experience. Now, again, I shouldn't say immature, but when he kind of took it upon himself to throw at Cabrera.
Something that was last year.
Yeah, something last year.
I think he felt embarrassed, if anything, because the guy showed him up by flipping the bat, doing whatever he did. I mean, I don't have a problem with you taking care of a situation, but you do it in a manner – that's
not going to affect the team.
Yes.
Yeah.
And and if you don't know how to do that, you talk to one of the veteran guys you say, what's the best situation? I mean, and it's hard for a reliever to get that opportunity to do that against that one guy. So, but where he threw that pitch, to say you didn't mean to do it, is a bunch of malarkey, as they say.
There seems to be a lot of malarkey in baseball, especially when last week when a ball was stuck to Molina's catching.
Oh, he got stuck in between the ribs or whatever.
Right. It stuck.
Yeah.
And he said, oh, no, there wasn't any foreign substance.
You could hear Velcro saying it coming off of
it. Was like who was a football player for the Raiders way back
with
when?
The gloves back. I don't use stick 'em. I don't do that.
Was Jack Tatum somebody?
I don't know. Yeah, they used to use it all the time.
Well, and then the other reliever we didn't even talk about. This is where I think Klentak's done a great job, you know, picking up Benoit, but also he picked up Pat Neshek, who hasn't given up a run all year either.
Man, that's
great. That's a guy that could, at some point, let's say
you can spell each other some guys are getting overworked a little bit. You can kind of give a day off. If your starters start going, we got to have start. That's another issue in itself.
Yeah,
we'll get into that.
We'll get into that when we get through the week. But L.A. said, a caller today said, do the Phillies need to throw inside more? So I'm going to ask an old school baseball guy, do you think they should be throwing inside more?
I think to be a big league pitcher, you have to throw inside. And you can't be afraid. I mean, if a ball gets away from you, it gets away. You can't be afraid to hit somebody far. You know, because what we're doing as pitchers is we're trying to at least have one side of the plate and let that guy know, hey, you're not going to dive on me and have it all.
Right.
You know, that type of thing. You want to put that little bit of doubt in their mind or thinking, hey, he's not afraid to come in here.
Right.
You know, so, and all you're asking for is a little bit to take the authority out of the bat. It might be a difference between a fly ball and a home run or a ground ball and a line drive. You know, it's that type of things. But, I mean – doing it in the right manner, you know, learning how, you know, the pitch inside is one of the big things. And, you know, looking at the old school, you said about the old school guy, and I learned by watching Dickie Knowles and all those guys and Lefty and not Seaver and, you know, and all those guys growing up. And those guys were the best, you know, I mean. And then seeing the old footage of, you know, like Drysdale, Gibson, and, you know, those guys.
Yeah. Well, yeah,
you didn't want to get in the box. You didn't want to be a rookie getting in the box, because you faced him for the first time, you're pretty much going to go on your back.
Right.
You know, that was sort of the rule of thumb.
Especially if you try to show them up.
Yes. It's unbelievable. But, you know, coming up these days, I mean, I don't know if it's just – and you tell me if I'm wrong in the way I'm thinking. It's just they've got so much money invested in these guys that they're trying to stop anything from happening. Before I'm talking, a ball might get inside and hit a guy,
yeah.
And the guys take offense if it gets hits off the elbow or something, and they're standing up there like they want to do something. I said, "Well, now come on, let's do something," you know. And if
it's easy for Tommy to say when he's looking like he's looking.
And and that's just the way you play the game. And if I meant to hit you, I would have hit you better than that,
right?
You know, or tried to at least, or you know. But I do not agree with headshots and trying to throw at somebody's head. Now, the old school, they wanted you on your back. That's where you went. You threw up and in like that. But I didn't agree with that. You know, that type of stuff. But there's a way to go about pitching inside, and you have to be that to let these guys. You got to get it in there, and sometimes. You know, you got to make them move. And I think one of the best ways to make them move is throw it at their belt buckle because you can move there.
Yeah,
you can
get out of the way. Get a little happy feet.
Yeah. So that's all you want is to let them know you'll come in.
All right, let's talk about some of the offensive here as we talked about the pitching. Because, again, let's go through the pitching. Neris had a 1-2-3 inning in the eighth. And, again, has not given up a run. We're all going to knock on wood again.
Yes.
And then Benoit.
No walks. No walks is huge.
Yeah, and Benoit comes in for his first save opportunity with the fighting Phils. Does a 1-2-3 now I tell you what.
No walks.
Well, also, look who he faced. And we were talking about it before the ninth. We said, all right, Benoit's got his first save opportunity, and who does he have to face?
Harper.
He has to face Harper, Murphy, and Zimmerman. I mean, how about that for your first save opportunity of 2017?
Same as the game yesterday, the way the game ended.
Right.
He facing basically the same guys.
Right.
You know, I mean, you didn't get to Zimmerman yesterday.
Yep.
So, I mean, that shows you – well, I mean – he was on his game right out of bed, too. I mean, he come in throwing strikes, but he's got a little split he throws,
yep.
too. I mean,
I like
he
it.
Kept
I like,
him honest.
I like that combo so far.
Yep.
All right, some of the offensive – well, really the big offensive guy today was Hernandez, who has really been – has come up big so far this year.
Yeah, a little 2-for-4 day.
Yeah, so he had a big bunt single.
That's
the
most
fourth.
Impressive to me is with him is showing that.
Yep.
You know, even I mean, he got it down. I mean, he can keep himself from going into prolonged slump,
yeah.
so to speak. And I touched on a thing with you earlier. I noticed earlier in the season he struck out more than I thought he should have. But today was one of those days he didn't. So, which is a positive. I mean, if you're bunting,
yeah.
and showing, you might not strike out as much, but also you might be shortening the corners up,
yeah.
a little bit to slap balls by him in that
yeah.
way. And obviously. He looks like he's gained a little weight, got a little thicker, a little stronger. And it's, I mean, to me, that's what it showed in spring training. I said, he looks stronger is what he looks like.
Yeah, I mean, he's a very versatile player now.
He can still run.
He can run one of the best, probably the best speed on the team, I think.
Yeah.
So he's got speed. He can threaten the bunt. He obviously can hit for power since he's got two home runs now, big one today. And the guy plays a good second base. So he's – you know, everyone in spring training was automatically saying, you know, Scott Kingery, or Jesmel Valentin, whose dad, Jose Valentin.
He put a good case for himself right there. He did.
Stats alone, he should have made the team coming
yeah.
out of spring training. But everyone kept saying, you know, Cesar is basically is a placeholder. Well, I don't know about that. He's still very young,
yeah.
and I think he could be he could be our MVP of the season.
He could be. Just keep maturing and keep
yeah.
doing, especially in that leadoff spot, which he's done a very good – very good job in.
Yep.
And the key to the leadoff spot is obviously seeing pitches, and you won't need guys on base being able to work the walk.
Yep.
At times and not striking out as much. That's what you want to see, the maturation process with a guy who can be your leadoff guy every day in and day out for years to come, so to speak.
And I think
possibly.
And I thought I heard on the radio today coming to Puss in Boots in Fairless Hills. That we are second, right, in most pitches seen.
Which is good.
I think we're first in the National League. But, yeah, and that's such a far cry from last year where, you know, not that you shouldn't be swinging at first pitch because if the ball is where you're looking.
Well, it's where you're seeing him fall in a pattern.
Right.
You know?
So it's nice to see us kind of being patient at the plate. And, again, I think they said it perfectly, is that you can be aggressive, but it should be, you know, or you could be looking at the most pitches and it might not mean anything if you're not taking advantage of that
yes.
and waiting for your pitch
yes.
eventually and waiting for the pitcher mistake. So it looks like, it sounds like and looks like Matt Stairs is really having an effect on a lot of these guys so far. So anyway, Hernandez hit the big two-run home run in the eights after the Nats had tied it. So great timing. And then let's talk about some defense too. How about Freddie? How about Freddie's incredible catch in the eighth inning?
Down the line. I mean, that was impressive. That was a disaster waiting to happen.
I thought Francos caught it.
I was scared of them running into each other.
I didn't know who caught it.
I didn't either. You know, but that was outstanding. Outstanding play, the concentration it took to catch that ball, because I think both of them thought they were – I know Freddie, I thought, knew he was going to get hit.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, I'm surprised he didn't get a kneecap to the head.
Yeah,
by
that's what scared me a little bit. But.
And then the other one, too, is Tommy Joseph had a key moment, had a nice diving stop.
Yeah, but that – and also, I mean, there's a couple defensive plays. I mean, like Kendrick out left. Yeah, he got
two
a bad
nice
break
catches.
On
yeah.
one on Zimmerman. I think Zimmerman's ball, big swing. That happens all the time.
Yeah.
You think the ball takes off the bat and it's going to be deep, and it's just a big swing, and it dies on you. But he still made a great – I mean, we've made some great – plays today.
Yeah,
run into balls, I mean, deep to the wall, and I mean, we made some plays.
Defense all year has been very good.
Oh, that's what we got to have.
I mean, we just ended a error scoreless streak. I think it was last week. Let me look at this. Yeah, I think we had an error. We broke Cesar Hernandez had an error. Well, it was a throwing error to Stassi. Error might have been on Stassi, but it broke a long errorless streak. For the Phils, so.
Which is, I mean, that's what we got to have. You know, if we're not banging the ball, I mean, say to speak, like the old school, you know, out of the ballpark, we got to play good defense and pitch well gives us a chance to win.
Yep.
You know, and that's bottom line, that's what's got to happen.
All right, Tommy, coming up in the show, we are going to talk about the week in baseball. We'll fly through the week in baseball because we don't want to dwell too much on the negative because there's a lot of
we run into some good pitching and good hitting.
We're into some good teams. You know, bring on. Let's the Braves or the any team.
Well, be careful what you wish for.
I know. Well, look at the Reds. You know, we lost two or three to the
That's
Reds.
That's just us stay healthy. That's what we need to do.
Right. Right. Exactly. All right. So we're going to go through the week in baseball, and also we'll give you guys a little. You know, I think, and we'll do this every week, is go through the minor league system and kind of talk about what some guys have done. To see, because, you know, again, there's a lot of guys that are pushing the envelope that'll be up here sooner than later. But you know what? I hope some of the guys that are there now hold them off, because that means obviously they're on the up and up.
So.
All right, we'll be doing that. You're listening to the Baseball Insider Show presented by SEPTA on 1490 WBCB. We are live from Puss in Boots in Fairless Hills, PA.
We now return to Puss in Boots Tavern in Fairless Hills for the Baseball Insider Show presented by SEPTA. Now, here are your hosts, John Brazier and Tommy Green.
All right, we are back to the Baseball Insider Show presented by SEPTA Live. We are live from Puss in Boots Tavern in Fairless Hills, PA. I'm John Brazier and joined by my co-host, Tommy Green. Tita, how you
Thank
doing,
you,
buddy?
My friend. Doing outstanding.
Yeah, and we got a win today. How about that?
Every day's a little bit brighter with a Phillies win. That's great.
Right, but now we're going to go back into the abyss. We will go through the week. We have to go through it, and then I kind of want to discuss some points in there. But on Monday, Monday was a tough one. I got to tell you, it was a tough one. We lost to the Mets 4-3. Jay Bruce had a two-run, two-out blast off Jolie Rodriguez in the eighth.
We didn't give up four hits as a team. As far as give up, they didn't have – the Mets had four hits, correct?
No, I'm sorry. Jay Bruce gave up the home run off Rodriguez gave it up, and then Gomez gave up the second home run of the game.
Yeah,
right?
But we didn't give up, like, total in the game, maybe like four hits as a pitching staff against the Mets or something crazy. I looked at the score.
Right.
It was like 4-3. Mets got four hits.
And what we were talking about earlier is it was set up by that wild pitch thrown by – I shouldn't say wild pitch, the intentional pitch, right? The so-called wild pitch by Ramos at Cabrera's head. But, you know, it's this team does have some fight. Even when they lose, for the most part, they have some fight. And it was nice to see Brock Stassi cut the lead to one in the ninth with his first home run. And it was his first hit of the season.
First
it was
hit
a home
of the
run.
Season. Yeah, exactly.
So, so that was nice. And that's a game we ended a 58 innings errorless streak. So that's.
Which, I mean, you hate to end it, but, I mean, it shows you what type of ball we're capable of playing. And that's, I mean, as far as defense, if you're playing solid defense, you're not giving stuff away too much.
Right. Phil's only had four hits. He struggled offensively. Eichhoff, seven innings pitched, three hits, one earned run, four walks, seven Ks. And it's a shame to, you know, give up that outing because, again, Eichhoff's been that rock steady so far. Obviously, we're only couple weeks in the season, but he's been the rock steady.
Basically up here since he's been in the big leagues. He's been the steady Eddie guy.
Yep. All right. Then Tuesday, as Monday was we fought and it was close. Tuesday, not so much because, Buchholz, we might have seen the last time.
Yeah.
And it could be he's still getting a second opinion by James Andrews. With that flexor tendon.
Yeah, you hope the best news, but it doesn't look good.
Yeah, you totally hope the best news, but all signs are not good. And, again, yeah. I don't know anything from a medical point of view, but when you see him grab that arm.
And you saw the velocity. I mean, I know he was trying to throw a change up there, but still the difference in the last pitch he threw, you're seeing him try to – it's not fun. I've been there.
Right.
I know what he's going through.
Well, let's knock on wood, and hopefully he gets a good second opinion, and we'll have him back. But he gave up 6 runs. He went 2 in a third innings, 8 hits, 6 earned runs, 1 walk, 2 Ks, a home run. He left – if he doesn't pitch again, he'll go out with a 12.27 ERA. And then Adam Morgan, the long relief guy, struggled as well. And unfortunately, and I love Adam. He's one of my favorite guys in the team. And it really, when you work for the team and you get to know these guys, you pull for the good guys. And Adam was one of the real good guys.
Yeah.
So it was a little disheartening to see him get sent down. But he had a rough outing. Three and two-thirds, 7 hits, 4 earned runs, 2 walks, 5 Ks. He's got a 10.50 ERA in the majors. And
we come in a situation where those guys, were seeing red.
Oh, my God.
They weren't missing anything.
They got in that
good mode. And if you don't make the pitch, they're going to hit it.
Yep. And then Rodriguez, again, gave up 3 earned runs. Jenmar gives up the big home run.
It didn't matter who pitched that night.
Well, the Mets had 7 home runs. He had Cespedes, who, I don't even – if you totaled his home runs in feet,
he might be sitting with us here up in the ballpark.
Exactly. So 3 home runs. Duda had 2 home runs. They had 7 total home runs. Darno and Cabrera. Cabrera getting a little revenge the next day. Just a whitewashing by the Mets.
Yes.
Wednesday.
Much as we hate to say that, you know.
Wednesday is one of those things, again, we battled back, but we get off to a 5-0 lead thanks to mostly Michael Conforto, a young player for the Mets. He went 2-for-4 with a home run. Zach Wheeler picked up his first win since 2014, and he held the Phils scoreless until leaving in the 6th. So the best thing for the Phils when he left, because
he left with runners on too, didn't he?
Bottom of the 6th, 5-0, and who comes up? Franco, probably one of the more exciting moments of the season so far, hits a grand slam to make it 5-4. And you thought at that point, we're going to come back. This is definitely coming back.
And Franco is starting to wake up, and
yep.
That's what you're hoping, that's what happens.
Yep.
That's what needs to happen in the middle of that lineup. We got to have one of those big boys waking up and doing some things, because right now we're not.
Yeah, 1-3 is doing great.
Yeah.
And then it's
4-5 and 6. Those guys are struggling some.
And speaking of struggling, Velasquez, and I'd love to get your thought on this, because he went – he went 5 innings pitch. He's not pitching deep into games. Gave up 5 hits. Gave up 5 runs. 4 walks. Going to 7 Ks. So his strikeout rate is great, but he's nibbling. He's walking. He's just pitching too many pitches, and it's forcing the bullpen to come in early.
Strikeouts are is just a stat, and he's got great stuff, and that's what that
right.
dicks take. But it comes about getting outs and not allowing runs. And when you're going, deep in counts, and being that type of stuff, he gets a lot of foul balls, and you're going to throw a lot of pitches sometimes. And then if you're striking out a lot of guys, you're going to go early, say to speak. But I know, speaking from experience, it started in minor league ball with me.
Right.
Coming out of high school, I struck out everybody. Coming
right.
to pro ball, you learn the difference. Then you start striking out some guys too, but you learn quick. He's like, I want to stay in games, go deep in games. You learn to accept. I wish I could throw 27 pitches and get 27 outs.
Right.
I could care less about the strikeouts.
Right.
But it's about when you get a chance to put somebody away, you do. But it's all about making quality pitches.
Right.
Not perfect pitches, quality pitches. Now, I don't know the mindset of trying to be perfect
right.
and trying to be quality. I think it's just a mindset about things, is letting your stuff dictates what happens. Because he does have good stuff, and if you're trying to be too fine, I think you're especially early in counts, depending on who's at the plate, in the situation in the game, you're opening yourself off to running and falling behind in counts early. open yourself up to, you know, possibly having some long innings, you know, with runners on, throwing a lot of pitches.
But he's a tantalizing pitcher because, again, you just said he's got the probably the best arm in the rotation. And
oh, there's no doubt about that.
And it seems that that's more of a mental approach that you can fix as opposed to, you know, you can't teach somebody the arm that he has.
No.
But you can teach somebody, you know, the importance of exactly what you just said.
Attacking the zone.
Right. So, certainly the upside, and that's why we got him. His upside is tremendous. So
there's going to be some humps and battles and dips and peaks and valleys. Right. And, you know, it's about him start making some progress now a little bit because that's sort of the way the season ended last year.
Right.
A little bit, too. You know, it was that type of thing, him getting to the fifth, you know, but you look at what happens over the course of a season, that continues to happen.
Right.
And if you got one guy that's doing it all the time, and then you end up having a couple guys, then you look at your bullpen.
Bullpen's getting spent.
That wouldn't survive back in the day when you had a 10-man staff.
Right.
Now you got a, 13-man staff. It's more survivable, and I think they look at it that way. Pete, you know, it was like with Nola yesterday. Yeah, he could have sent him out. Sent Nola out for another inning because he had like 90 pitches or whatever.
Right.
But he didn't want to do an end on a good note.
Right.
Well, I mean, he had the luxury of doing that. Back in, you know, years ago, you didn't really have that luxury.
No.
You needed to get that extra inning.
Right.
And because he might have threw, you know, say he speaks 7-8 pitches. He got or 10 pitches. He got 100 pitches and got another inning.
Right.
You know, it's that type of thing. But, I mean, I just think over the course of the year, I mean, you're begging – you know, you need these guys doing a little bit more than that, being able to go a little deeper. So, I mean, and you got a couple guys that are stretched out, ready to go that right now. To me, that's what spring training is for.
Right.
Are they stretched out, ready? They should be stretched out over 100 pitches,
ready to go. Right when they get to the season, they're ready to go.
Yeah.
All right, Friday night, last night, we had talked about him earlier, probably the best hitter in the game right now, Daniel Murphy.
Yeah.
He had Bryce Harper. You know, basically, Bryce Harper was on first. The ninth, right? In the tenth, sorry. And he hits a opposite field double, just a hitting clinic.
Yeah.
And Harper's on first, and Harper's
– He can run a little bit.
He can run. He's not
– He read it good jumps.
Right.
Very aggressive.
And it was off Jenmar Gomez. So Jenmar Gomez just had a week to forget. And the Nats rally. Strasburg pitched 7 strong innings. But Nola, again,
both of them had real good – they were on their
A-game pitching
yesterday.
Battle. Nola pitched 5 strong innings, struck out 7, yielded 1 run.
Questionable umpiring. That's what I think.
All right, there you go. And Tommy Joseph with his first home run. So it was good to see. Hernandez continues the streak with an RBI. And it was a shame because the Phillies did have the lead, and then they tied the game in the seventh off Ramos. And then they get to the extra innings, and then Murphy does his damage.
I mean, you talk about Murphy. I mean, it's who do you not want at the plate to win the ball game with a man in scoring position? Bryce Harper or Murphy?
Right.
I'd rather not face Murphy. You know, I'd rather face Harper than him.
Right, because I think Harper has more holes in his swing.
Yeah, but Murphy's a hitter that can hurt you too.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, he's willing to, I mean, obviously go everywhere. And, you know, not that Harper's not. It's just I think Murphy seems to be a little bit more mature hitter right now.
Right.
Right now. And Harper's right there.
I mean, you can imagine if the Mets didn't give up on Murphy. Now, again, if they didn't give up on Murphy, I don't know. Maybe they couldn't have gotten somebody else if they have. But, man, I mean, that's
– that was a trade that went there,
yeah, I
right?
can't remember. Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know who came back, so we'll have to look into that.
I don't know what went into that.
All right, Tommy. Coming up in the show, we'll go around baseball – including Carlos Martinez's bizarre stats in today's game. We'll go around baseball. We'll also talk about the minor leagues. We'll wrap up the show. You're listening to the Baseball Insider Show presented by Septon 1490 WBCB. We are live from Boots and Boots Tavern in Fairless Hills, Pennsylvania.
We now return to Puss in Boots Tavern in Fairless Hills for the Baseball Insider Show presented by SEPTA. Now, here are your hosts, John Brazier and Tommy Green.
All right, we are back to the Baseball Insider Show presented by SEPTA. We are live from Puss in Boots Tavern in Fairless Hills, PA. I'm John Brazier, joined by my co-host Tommy Green. And Tommy, let's go through the minor leagues a little bit before we go around baseball. Today, Nick Pivetta, who we got in the Jonathan Papelbon trade, has continued to pitch well. He pitched a 7-inning shut out today in the first game of a doubleheader. And another star of that game was Rhys Hoskins.
He's waking a guy up.
He had 39 home runs last year, second in all of minor leagues, just behind Dylan Cousins, a teammate. And he had two home runs today. And you know who got the loss in that AAA game?
No, I did not.
Kyle Kendrick.
Oh.
Kyle Kendrick got the loss. So Kyle pitched lights out in spring
training.
I thought
he did, too. That's what the last
thing. And then he's had a rough – he got sent to the minor leagues. And he's had a rough go so far.
That's a shame. I thought he was going to make that team.
Well, because they had the injuries. You know, they had Price injury and they had something else. Someone else went down. Alec Asher, who we traded away, who was in that running to make the club. We ended up – he's on the 40-man roster. We traded him. He made his Baltimore debut today. He pitched 6 1/3 innings of one-run ball versus Toronto.
Good for him. Another good guy. Good guy.
And also I call him my cousin because I'm married into the Asher family. So I've got a special place in my heart for Alec
Asher.
He's
a nice guy. I met the young man. He's a very nice guy. You're around him a lot more than I am.
Yeah, but, real good guy. All right, so let's go through the minor leagues so far. So Lehigh Valley is now 4-6 for that first game, for winning the first game today. So far, some of the guys are off to great starts. We're going to stay positive. We're going to be a fountain, not a drain.
Okay,
Tommy.
I got you.
So Alfaro is –
on fuego, as they say.
Quinn was off to a really good start. He's kind of quiet down. But Alfaro, before today's game, was hitting .394. Rhys Hoskins, before today's game, .310. And Valentin, who we talked about, who,
he had a great spring, too.
Had an unbelievable spring. In fact, he was the last one – he basically was the last one cut for the team. But his dad, Jose Valentin, played – in the majors, and the guys
picked up where he left off during
the spring. He's hitting .393 before today's game again. So, 4-6 record, but some of the guys that you're really looking at performance by individuals, see how they're doing. Ben Lively had a good game the other day, but he struggled in another outing. 4.09 ERA. Ricardo Pinto, that's a name you should remember. .73 ERA. Pivetta before today, 1.50. Obviously, that ERA is going to go down.
Down.
And Eflin had a great first outing with him. Appel, 3.86. Thompson's the only one who had a real rough outing. You don't want to know his ERA. And some of the guys that were last cuts, Pat Venditti, the guy who's the amphibious.
Oh, yeah.
As Shaq says, he's amphibious, or Yogi says. And I talked to him in spring training. It's wild. He showed me his glove.
I met his mother.
Yeah. And he's not even ambidextrous. He says he's not ambidextrous.
He just taught himself how to throw left-handed.
He throws left-handed sidearm.
Yeah.
I told him I can throw a football left-handed. I'm right-handed, but I can throw a football left-handed. And he said, I can't do that. I'm like, what do you mean you can't do that? You can throw a baseball in the major leagues. You can't throw a football? He goes, no, I'm not ambidextrous. I'm like, I'm watching you switch sides of the mound.
He just can't throw it overhanded.
He can't do anything overhanded. He said, I can't write anything left-handed. He said, the only thing I can do left-handed is throw a sidearm baseball, like 90-plus miles an hour. Crazy. All right, Redding. Redding was 3-5. Some of the guys that are off to a good start is Scott Kingery, who, again, had a great camp. He was kind of the talk of camp. Scotty Jetpacks, they were calling him. Hitting 303 home runs. Andrew Pullen, who was also in camp, who one of our top prospects, was hitting .355 with two home runs. Kyle Martin, a low average. He was a first baseman, I believe, out of South Carolina.
Yeah.
He's already with three home runs. And there's some other guys. So we'll look at that. And we have another shortstop in the system, Canelo. Malquin Canelo is hitting .409. And, you know, that's
you got to bottle that one.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
That's going to push you a lot of guys. You got some shortstops going to push you.
Yeah, and you know what? Crawford better start.
I'm looking for Crawford to start doing something.
He was hitting .100 before today. So, all right, so then we'll go to Clearwater. Clearwater 7-3. Cornelius Randolph, who was our first round draft pick several years ago, playing left field. He was known as the best pure hitter in the draft at that point. He's hitting .250. But he's got three home runs so far. There's another guy, Tom Show, who, frankly, I don't know who the guy is, but he's got three home runs so far. And then there's a couple guys. Their pitching staff is unbelievable down in Clearwater. They've got Irvin, who's 2-0.
Fifth-round
draft pick with an 0.69 ERA. You got Colome, who's got a 3.38 ERA.
He throws it 100.
Oh, yeah. Tavares, 0.93 ERA. Dominguez, 1.13 ERA. Tirado, who we got in the Ben Revere trade, hasn't given up a run. And Quinn, who this guy's name is Brady Quinn. He was the 10th round draft pick last year at Cal State Fullerton. Dickie Knowles introduced me to him in spring training, and I thought Dickie said Mike. So Dickey left, and I'm talking to this Quinn guy, and I kept saying, and I had a great conversation with him for half an hour. So, Mike, tell me about this. Mike, tell me about college. Mike, tell me this. Mike. He turns around, and someone says, hey.
Hey, Brady.
Yeah, Brady. Not Brady Quinn. That's the football player. Yeah. I still don't know his name. But all I know is it's not Mike. And I'm like, ah, man, you know, that's brutal. All right, Lakewood is 5-4. Some of the guys, Brito, another second baseman. Man, we got a lot of second basemen in the system.
Guys Brito's lighting
hitting,
them up.
Hitting 390 with three home runs. Mickey Moniak hitting 308 and Sandberg. I almost said Carl Sandberg, but that's a poet. Sandberg's hitting 447. He was a third round draft pick out of 2013, and then Henri Letargic is hitting 385. He's a catcher out of I believe last year's draft. So. There's a lot of guys to follow and a lot of guys doing well so far.
And early in the season right now is a lot of good things. Hopefully some of the other guys start waking up and doing positive things too.
All right, let's go around baseball. Now, do you know the team? The Grasshoppers?
Oh, yeah. It's the one at the ballpark. That's the Mariners.
Mariners. So the Mariners, they sold out of Grasshoppers at a concession stand for the first three games of the season, and they called in an emergency order so they could last throughout the weekend. They were imposing a pregame order limit for the rest of the season. They come in a 4-ounce cup for $4. They're toasted, and they're put in a chili lime salt, right?
Yeah.
So they sold roughly 18,000 Grasshoppers. That's more than the restaurant that runs the stand, Paquito's, sells in a year. How about that? Seriously, is that unbelievable?
I saw it on TV when Jay Buhner was trying it on there.
The Mariners are going to limit their sales to 312 orders per game, and they're doing that in honor of the great Edgar Martinez, who hit 312 lifetime. But let me ask you a question. Like Seattle, right? Seattle's, you know.
Seafood, I mean.
Right, but also, like, I would think if there's any place that they would protest, you know, eating an animal. right?
Yes, up there.
Right?
I get where you're going.
They're not
going
to say anything in New York, but they're going to say something in Seattle, right? A very progressive state, city, right? But I don't see anything in this order. Like, I don't see any PETA people or any, you know, people protesting the Grasshoppers. Poor Grasshoppers. They have no rights. I might have to stick up for the rights of Grasshoppers.
That's right. I think you should.
I think that's my place. All right. Some of the people off to a hot start. How about Zach Cozart? Now, we faced him when we played the Reds.
Yeah.
But he had I don't know what he's hitting now, but he was hitting just a couple of days ago, .481 batting average. How about that? I mean, but his batting average on balls in play are .565. So that's twice as high as the league average. So you'd think something's going to. Something's got to go. Or then you got Syndergaard. How about Syndergaard?
He's allowed one run
in 13 innings.
He's filthy.
He's got that nasty sinker. He's got a 64.5% ground ball rate. He's got the hardest average fastball of any starting pitcher in the majors, clocking in at 98 miles per hour. And he's a good actor, too. All right. On the downside, how about Byron Buxton, who's actually a young center fielder with the Twins, who had a great year last year, but he struck out 19 times in his first 35 plate appearances. That's a 54.3% strikeout rate.
I tell you what, somebody's found his hole, and they're abusing it right now.
I mean,
that's called a slow start right there for the old boy.
I mean, yeah, right.
Hey,
right.
That's what you tell somebody. There's always somebody out there a little bit better or doing a little bit worse than you are.
All right, let's
play the game. Be happy.
What about this, Tommy? And you can. This is the year where these little guys. You're always going to have Cespedes, obviously, at three home runs against us. You're going to have the Chris Davis. You're going to have other guys. But now it's like the little guys are showing some pop. You got Mookie Betts, right? He's 5'9". He had 31 home runs last year. You got Rougned Odor, who had 33 home runs. He's 5'11". Brian Dozier, 5'11", hit 42. Jose Altuve, who is the last one to know it's raining at any ballpark he enters, 5'6", and he hit 24 home runs last year. So you got all these little guys that have pop. What do you attribute that to? Is it just
you look at Houston as the ballpark, you know, I think more so than anything. And guys are, even though they might not be as taller, they're probably stronger than they used to be. And because the way they go about their business, they do work at it probably a lot more during the off season than some say to speak the older guys did back in the day.
Right.
And they weren't in the weight room doing the things what they need to do. But I think it's got – I mean, you look at in general – People ask us, what ballpark did I like to pitch in?
Right.
The biggest one. The Yellowstone would have been great. You know, that would have been outstanding for me. As pitchers, I mean, where are your safe havens? You got ballpark like Seattle is a big yard. Now you got Miami is a good one to pitch in. And, you know, besides that, the rest, I mean, even the Mets up there, I mean, it was when they first built it up there, their new ballpark was huge. And now they're starting to bring it to – piece by piece, bring it in to make it more fan friendly, more excitement, the long ball. That's what they've done with a lot of these new stadiums is do that, make it more friendly for it, say to speak, in certain areas. But overall, in general, I just think the ball player is in better shape and stronger.
Probably right. All right, Cubs received the World Series rings on Wednesday night. It says never quit on the ring. It has scores of all the playoff rounds, plus the time of the final out, and it's got a picture of a goat. How about that? Now, I told you I'd ask some Yogi quotes, so I'm going to just whip off some quick Yogi quotes, and then we'll wrap up the show. So you tell me your favorite one. When you come to a fork in the road, take it. You can observe a lot just by watching. No one goes there nowadays. It's too crowded. Baseball is 90%, and the other half is mental. This is one of my favorites. Always go to other people's funerals. Otherwise, it won't come to yours. Right?
That might do it.
You better cut the pizza in four pieces because I'm not hungry enough to eat six. All right. I usually take a 2-hour nap from 1 to 4. The future ain't what it used to be. Pair up in threes. Why buy good luggage? You only use it when you travel. Even Napoleon had his Watergate. He hits from both sides of the plate. He's amphibious. We said that earlier, right? It was impossible to get a conversation going. Everybody was talking too much. I'm not going to buy my kids an encyclopedia. Let them walk to school like I did. And it ain't the heat. It's the humility. So I'm ugly. I never saw anyone hit with his face. Little League baseball is a very good thing because it keeps the parents off the streets. And then the last one is the towels were so thick that I could hardly close my suitcase. That's what he said when he left the hotel where the team was staying.
You can't be wrong by going with none of those. I mean, just classic Yogi.
Just classic. All right. And Tommy, that wraps up today's Baseball Insider Show presented by SEPTA Live from Puss in Boots Tavern in Fairless Hills, PA. I'd like to thank my co-host today, of course, Tommy Green, our engineer today, Chris Ermer, Bob Giaquinto, producer back in the studio, Ted Efall, as well as the good folks here at Puss in Boots Tavern for hosting us. We'll be back next Sunday before the Phillies take on the Atlanta Braves. Thank God the Nats and the Mets are out of here. Have a great week. And as the legendary Harry the K says,
we're out of here.
You've been listening to the Baseball Insider Show presented by SEPTA, an exclusive presentation of 1490 AM WBCB and heard around the world at WBCB1490.com.